We've been talking about peace over the last month, and we're going to finish up today, but I want to encourage you that peace should be a part of our lives all year round, amen? But I think that it's appropriate now, because our theme scripture was Luke 2, verse 14, and the angels, they're out in the field proclaiming to the shepherds. And you remember what they said, they're going to put the verse up, and it says this, you know, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards all mankind. But the most important part is the fact about peace, that God has come to bring us peace. We read in Isaiah a couple weeks ago that Jesus was to be the Prince of Peace. You know, the king over peace in a sense. And so the question I have to ask is, why do most of us not have peace? You know, obviously there's some kind of disconnect that's happening. If God has brought peace to us, literally brought him in the form of a little baby, brought to the earth peace, why aren't many of us, especially as believers, experiencing the peace of God? And so last week we talked about the three pieces of peace. There's three types in a sense. We talked about the eternal kind of peace, and that's what we have through faith in Jesus. In other words, we have peace that when this life is over, we have eternal life with God in heaven, amen? And that needs to be our foundation stone. That needs to be our absolute. We need to know that, yes, that is a for sure thing. But then there's another kind of peace, and that's the internal kind of peace. That's the kind of peace of the mind. And let me tell you something, there's a lot of people that don't have that kind of peace today, especially during the Christmas season, you know, with all the hustle and bustle, trying to get things done, not only for Christmas, but get your year-end stuff done for taxes and all the things involved with that, and trying to start the new year off right, so trying to finish some old things so you can start new. All of those things cause anxiety in our lives, and so internal peace can be pretty elusive to us. And then the final piece we talked about last week was external peace. And that's the peace of the relationships around us. You know, dealing with family and with friends and neighbors and coworkers. I was speaking with someone between services, and they were talking about the difficulty they're having at work, that their boss is just always screaming at them. Always, always, always. How can you have peace when that's going all the time in your head? And I couldn't imagine. And so for many of us, peace can be elusive. And especially at Christmas time, you know, I was thinking about this myself. You know, I've had over the years pretty happy Christmases, you know, pretty happy. But a number of years ago, I think 7, 8 years ago, my father passed away. It wasn't at Christmas time. But you know what I miss him the most? Is at Christmas. I go back to mom's house where my dad lived, you know, and the chair is empty now. You know what I'm saying? Some of you know what I'm talking about. And so for me at Christmas time, there's happiness of the joy of Jesus being given to the world. Yet there's a part of me that's sad and kind of reflective. And then that's not even talking about families where there's been divorces and separations and kids that are no longer connected to the family. You know, the list goes on and on of the different things that can happen. And it's most noticeable at Christmas. Why? Because that's when, as families often, we come back together and we see those missing pieces that are there or not there. So how can we help ourselves in this? If Jesus came as the Prince of Peace, is he a liar? No, the Bible says this, let God be true and every man a liar. And so that means that though we have these struggles here, there is a peace that passes all understanding that God wants you and I as believers in him to have. And so I want to direct you to scripture. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus is speaking and he says this, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. There's a lot in this scripture, but let's just look at it for a minute. First of all, where does the peace come from? Who's speaking? Jesus. And he says that in me you may have peace. In other words, the peace of God comes through faith in Jesus. There's no other place it can come from. You know, it can't come from a new car or a new house or a new relationship. Not lasting peace. I had some friends that just got a newer vehicle, you know, to them it's like almost new, and they're just enjoying it. But on day one, they hit a metal bar on the road and blew a tire out. And then a couple of days later, they're driving and a chunk of ice came off another vehicle, went through their windshield. You know what I'm saying? Talk about not having peace. You know, the thing is they've got this new thing and it's new to them, and yet it's being destroyed by things around it. And the same with a house. You get a new house, and what happens all of a sudden, you know, 20 years in, your septic field goes bad. 10 $115,000 later, and you got to paint it, you got to do windows, you got to do this and that. So your happiness, your peace cannot be related to anything in this world, to material possessions or money or any of those things, because those things go up and down, things change. And so peace can't be connected to that. It has to be connected to Jesus. Because he's the only thing that doesn't change in our lives. He's our constant North Star that's always there for us. But he says this, he says, I'll give you peace. But he says, look, but in this world, you're going to what? Have tribulation. In other words, you're going to have troubles and difficulties and persecutions, and things are going to go wrong. And that's one of the problems that some Christians think this, that if you're right with God and you're doing everything you're supposed to, then everything is going to be just fine here. I heard somebody say, no, I agree with them. In this world, you will have tribulation. The question is, how are you going to deal with it? With peace in your heart or with anxiety in your heart? The tribulation is going to come. So just get over that. That's good. The wave is coming. It's how you face it is really the question that I'm asking you this morning. And I believe that we can do it with the peace of God that passes all understanding. And so he says, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And as Jesus has overcome and we're in Christ, then we can overcome as well. Now, I've read the Gospel of John hundreds of times in my Christian life. Hundreds of times. It's actually my favorite book of the Bible. So I've read it over and over and over again. But for the first time this last week, as I read this particular scripture, I saw something I had never seen before. How many people have done that? You've been reading the Bible for maybe years, and all of a sudden you read one verse and like, whoa, what is that? And I highlighted it. It says, these things I've spoken to you that in me you may have peace. Well, what things? What things? He says, these things I've spoken to you. So obviously we could say, well, look, it's the Bible. You know, these things. He's given us his word. And obviously through the entire Bible, we can have peace as we take it into our lives. And that's a fact. How many people believe that? That's true. But here's the thing. In the original language, when it says these things I've spoken to you, he's actually saying these particular things that I've just talked about. That's literally what he's saying. So the question is, what things? And so I have done for you some research to find out what those things are. And he said five things in the previous chapter, specifically in chapter 15 and then 16, five things that we can have peace in our lives, five principles, so to speak. And so I want to take you there this morning and show you these things because I wanted to discover what these things are. So I'm going to give that to you, all right? Now, I encourage you if you want, the points are not going to come up on the screen, but and so I encourage you to write them down. But what I'm going to do is email them to you. So everyone that's on our email list, if you get the church emails, put your hand up and you get church emails. All right, you will get the outline. I will send you the 5 points, all right? So you don't have to freak out and worry too much about it. If you'd like to get them and you're not on the email list, PJ told us how you can be on the list. If you sign the Connect card, put your name and your email, we'll make sure that you will get that. We only send an email out about once a week, but we will send out these things. But let me give you the first point. Again, I don't normally give you the point in the scripture, but that's what I'm going to do today, all right? So let me give you the first point, and it's found in John 15, verses 5 to 8, and it says this, you will have peace when you abide in Christ. All right, so let's look at John 15, verse 5. You will have peace when you abide in Christ. Here it is, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit so that you will be my disciples. And so here he's talking about abiding, and he's talking actually about grapevines. When he's talking about, you know, the branches and the vine and all that, and how we're the branches and he's the vine, he's literally talking about grapes. Now, I didn't know this, but I did some research on this, that they did a practice called grafting. How many people have heard that term, grafting? And so what you would do is take a root of a certain variety. It's usually the same variety. For example, with apple trees, you would have an apple tree root that's a certain apple tree root, but it doesn't produce very good apples, but it has a really strong root. And so then you would take the kind of apples that you like, and you would take a branch from that and you would graft it into that root. So you would have strong roots, but you'd get the fruit that you want. And so literally, this is the principle that's being talked about here, that Jesus, in a sense, is our root. He's our source of life. And that we're grafted in, that we're to abide, literally to be connected, that our life nutrients comes from the root, from him. And so here's what he's saying when we need to abide. In the original Greek, the word abide means to be in a place of expectancy, to draw from, to be connected to. So literally, Jesus is saying, for you to have peace, you must abide in him, must be connected to him, allowing his life to be a part of your life. And that begs the question, what ticks your box today? In other words, what turns you on? What gives you a thrill in life today? And if it's something that's in the world, let me tell you something. Sooner or later, you'll grow tired of it and it'll be thrown aside. But if what ticks your box or what turns you on, so to speak, is your connection to Jesus and eternal life with him, let me tell you something. That's abiding. That's the right place to abide. Now, does that mean we can't have hobbies and do things? Man, have at it. You know, just allocate time. But be careful that that time doesn't swallow up your Jesus time. Because let me tell you something. We need the lifeblood of God flowing through us. And it begins with abiding in him. And part of abiding, to be in that place of expectancy, is to spend time with him. In fact, I applaud you. Here you are today, the busiest week of the year possibly, all right? And here you are taking some time out to come to church to do what? To abide in God. To spend time in fellowship with him. To invest in him, in a sense. But here's the thing. Sure, you're investing in him, but he's investing in you. I pray that he's already spoken to you through the worship. You know, because God does that. You know, all the songs we sing are scripture songs. So God speaks through worship. You know, you may say, but I don't know how to sing. That has nothing to do with it. God speaks through worship. I pray that as one of the scripture verses you might hear today might speak to you and you'll have a connection with God. And the life of God will just be infused into you. And you'll have that rhema moment, that moment where you're like, have that, oh, wow. God loves me. God's got a plan for me. And that's my prayer for you today, that you don't just experience hearing a little bit about God, but that you experience God in a personal, tangible way, because that's what changes lives. You know, I was talking to someone during the week and they said, you know, I've been to thousands of church services, but not all of them have moved me. And so I said to that person, I said, let's pray and believe God that every service that we have moves us in some way. Because here's what happens. If we're not moved, after a while, we become stagnant, we become hardened, we become calloused, and all of a sudden, you could have the word preached at you, you could read something in the Bible, and you become cold in your heart. Let's not ever let ourselves become that way, but open to what the Spirit of God wants to do in our lives. So point one again from John 15:5-8, you will have peace when you abide in Christ, when you abide connected to Jesus. Okay, let's move on. John 15:18-25. Now, this is a tough one. You will have peace when you realize you will not always be liked or understood. All right, so let's look at this. Verse 18, John 15:18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Verse 20. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. Verse 25. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in the law. They hated me without a cause. Listen to me. You cannot have peace with everybody in your life. I've even, over the years, I've had people, and this doesn't happen much, thank God, but I've had people come up and say to me, I don't like you. And I ask them, well, why don't you like me? And they're like, I just can't put my finger on it. I just don't like you. So here's my response. I'm like, well, thank you for being honest. That's about as good as I could get, if you get what I'm saying. You know, I'm sorry you feel that way, but thanks. And so here's the thing. In our lives, you might not have people so open about that. Why would anyone not like me? I just don't understand it. But it's just, just move on, all right? But here's the reality of it. If you try to get everyone to like you, you will live a life of compromise and God's peace will not be part of your life. It's just the reality of it. And you got to get over it. There are some people who just don't like how you look or don't like your voice or don't, and they might not be able to explain. It's not that you said anything wrong. It's not that you've done anything wrong. They just plain don't like you. And here's the reality of it. That can just remain their problem instead of becoming your problem. You hear what I'm saying? Now, does that mean that we go around stirring trouble, being miserable to people? No, I am not suggesting that in any way. In fact, the Bible says this, if at all possible, be at peace with all mankind. That's what the word says. And so we need to do everything we can to be at peace with everyone. But the reality of it is you will not be at peace with everyone. Now, on your part, you're doing everything you can, but you can't change other people. You can only change yourself. And so I just want to tell you right now, if you're one of those kind of people who try to be a people pleaser and try to keep the peace and everyone happy, you will live a life of compromise. And in the end, no one will be at peace, the other person or you either. And so you need to walk the line that Jesus has called you to walk, live the life Jesus has called you to live, and let the chips fall where they may. You hear what I'm saying? And some of that's even with family members, and you're going to have to work that out, all right? You know, it's sad when these things happen, and I pray that they're far and few between in your life, but the reality of it is we all have someone. That, let me do a survey. I don't want names, and don't look at your spouse, all right? But how many people deal with issues of peace with other people? I'm just doing a survey here for my own use. Looks like I got about half the hands up. Thank you for honest people putting them up, and there's probably a bunch more that just were afraid to put their hand up. So just so you know, this is a huge area in life. It's a huge, huge area. And so my word to you about this is do not compromise your faith walk. Do not compromise your peace to try to bring a kind of false peace to that situation. Now, when you can, try to work it out. I can't encourage you enough to do that. Don't avoid these situations, but deal with them. Amen? So you're not going to always be liked or understood. It's just the way it is. And for you to have peace, you have to understand that and be able to move past it. Okay, let's move on. Number three, you will have peace when you know you're not alone. John 16, verse 12 to 15. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you onto all truth. And he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare to you. All things that the Father are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So this is speaking of the work of the Holy Spirit. Now Jesus, again, he's speaking future tense here. He hadn't yet gone to the cross. But essentially he's saying, look, after I go to the cross and send the Holy Spirit, he will come and live in you. In fact, elsewhere in scripture it says this, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So in other words, if you say the Holy Spirit's in you, you could actually say, I have Jesus in my heart. Now here's the thing. Some of you are sitting here alone at church. You're not alone. The Bible says that Jesus lives in you. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Yet there are times in our lives where we feel very much alone, don't we? We may be no one else at home in our house, or we may be driving our car and have a sense of loneliness in our hearts, you know, and we feel it. There's a feeling of loneliness. And that's when we need to begin to ask God. One of the songs that we sang talked over and over about asking God. And what's interesting, and I encourage you when you go home, read chapters 15 and 16 of the Gospel of John in its entirety. Because over and over again, at almost every juncture, Jesus says this, ask God and it will be given to you. Ask, ask, ask and you shall receive. All mixed into this. Here's why. Because for us to have peace, it's through relationship. We need to connect to him. So when you feel alone, what should you do? Have a pity party? Woe is me. I might as well go to the garden and eat worms kind of thing. Should that be your attitude? No. Ask him. Say, Lord, I feel alone. Help me. And allow his peace to flood your heart. Allow that connectivity to happen that you have a sense that Jesus is with you. Because he is. Here's the worst thing for any Christian to have happen in their lives. They come to church and for an hour or so of time, they feel the presence of God. And for every hour of the rest of the week, they have no sense of God. That's the most pitiful thing that could happen to any of us as a believer. Let me assure you of something. Church should encourage you. Church should bolster your faith. Church should bring a camaraderie, charge your batteries, so to speak. But when you go out and you're going to your job or you're going to school or you're going into your relationships at home or wherever you are, that the idea is that Jesus goes with you. That you have a God consciousness that he's with you. You are not alone even when you're alone. You hear what I'm saying? That he's with you. So that's Christ in you. Yeah, and it says in Hebrews, in the first chapter, Hebrews says this, are not angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? So not only do you have Jesus in your heart, you've got armed guards with you everywhere you go. Man, you've got a posse with you. You think some of these celebrities got stuff going on? Man, they got nothing compared to what we got. We got a posse, armed posse with us. We've got Christ in us. You are not alone. But here's the thing. Where's your head at? You see, Jesus talks about the two places you can be at. You can be in the world, thinking like the world is, or you can be in him, thinking how he thinks. And so when you feel a spirit of loneliness come upon you, here's what you do. You cry out and say, Jesus, I know I'm not alone. I got angels around me. I've got you living in me. Help me to have that peace that passes all understanding. And when you ask, what does the word say? You shall receive. Don't get caught in that pity party that the enemy wants you to be in, but rather get caught up with that great cloud of witnesses in heaven, that other party. Amen? That's celebrating the risen Lord. Okay, so we've given you three things so far. You have peace when you're not alone. All right, number four. John 16, verses 20 to 22. You will have peace when you are willing to deal with short-term pain for long-term gain. Now, that's a tough one. But let's just read what it says in Scripture. John 16, verse 20. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament. But the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she's in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will be able to take from you. And so here we have the scripture talking about the anguish that we're dealing with in life. I remember we have five children. And so I was with Sandra for all five of them being born. And so I remember being at the hospital, and this wasn't her. I remember being in the hallway just waiting, you know, just waiting for things to begin to happen. And I hear other women screaming, all right, like they're in full-blown labor. And some of the common things that I hear is, you're never getting near me again. That was one of the statements that I would hear, you know, the wife yelling at the husband because she wasn't going to go through the pain of childbearing again. But what was amazing is in many of those cases, again, I've been through this five times, so I would hear that same woman crying for joy and thankfulness after the baby was born. In other words, the anguish of the moment gets swallowed up by that child being held. You see, and it's the same for you and I. God has given us promises. We've conceived promises in our lives. And we're carrying that promise around, and it's getting heavy, and it's getting difficult. And we're wondering, God, why am I dealing with this? This is a pain. It's difficult. And then you come to the point where it should, you know, you feel like it's almost over, and it gets worse, right? Because then you go into the labor pains of giving birth to that promise. It's not easy sometimes. And you're crying out, God, I don't want this anymore. Take this thing away. But then once it's birthed, once that promise is birthed, the joy that overwhelms it. And here's the problem for you and I sometimes. We don't want to deal with the short-term pain for the long-term gain. In other words, we're not willing to conceive the promise, to walk it through to full term and give birth to it because of the pain involved. But here's the thing. We're not to be focused on the pain, but for the joy that follows after. For the joy that was set before Jesus, the Bible says he endured the cross. What if Jesus was concerned about short-term pain? You know what he would have said to God the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane? Hey, I'm out of here. I'm checking out. I'm not doing this thing. But for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, the short-term pain. See, when we walk through this life, God wants us to face our mountains head on and to go through them. Not to go over them, not to go around them, not to go under them, but to go through them. That's what God has called you and I to do. And yes, it will hurt. Maybe dealing with that situation, that person that you're not having peace with right now. Listen, ignoring that person for another Christmas is not the answer. Listen to me. It's not the answer. It's just going to be another Christmas of pain that will linger and carry on and carry on and carry on. Maybe it's time to face that individual. Maybe it's time to deal with that individual and just have a chat with them. And it may not change anything on their side. Listen to me. It may not. But it can change where you're at. Amen. And you can come to a place of peace within your own heart. And you can move on. Whether they do or not, that really, in a sense, is irrelevant. That's between God and them. But you can move on then and not be held in bondage to that situation any longer. So let's allow sometimes a little short-term pain is okay for the long-term gain that you will experience. Amen? Okay. Number five. This is John 16, verses 25 to 27. It says this, "You'll have peace when you know how loved by the Father you are." So let's look at this in verse 25. "These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray to the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God." As believers in Christ, that is so foundational to know that we're loved by God. You know, especially at Christmas time when things maybe are difficult for some of us here, we need to know that God the Father cares for us so, so much that his love supersedes every other kind of love. So how can you and I experience peace not only at Christmas time, but every day of our lives? Obviously, we have these five principles, in a sense, that Jesus has presented to us. And as I looked at them, God began to speak to my heart, and he gave me, I'll call it four steps, but four pieces to peace. And so the first one begins with his presence. Now, I want you to think about this. So I've got presence, plan, purpose, peace. Let me just, I'll give you a little bit of a kind of a summary, and then I want to tell you something. His presence, it all begins with his presence. Out of his presence, God has a plan for the entire world, doesn't he? In fact, we know that. God didn't one day, "Hey, Jesus, you know, can you just hop down there and become a little baby?" No, it was planned for eons of time. In fact, we see way back in Genesis 3, verse 15, talks about the seed, capital S. The seed crushing Satan's head. And that refers to what Jesus did on the cross at Calvary. So we know that this had been planned. In other words, God has this master grand plan. But that's not enough. In that master grand plan, God has a purpose for you and I. In other words, there's a peace in that big plan. And then out of that, we have peace. You see, when you know that someone has a plan for you. I remember as a little kid when my dad and mom would be going on a road trip and they'd say, "Hey, we're going to go here, we're going to go there, we're going to do this." I'm like, "Wow, awesome." In other words, it was all planned out. All I had to do was what? Get in the car. And then we would go on this road trip. And I had not a care in the world. Why? Because my dad, when he said he was going to do something, followed through with it. When your Father in heaven tells you what the plan is and you know your purpose, it will follow through. So let's talk about this for a minute with the nativity scene. Now, I want you in your mind's eye, picture the nativity scene. So who's in that scene? Who's in the stable? Well, we got a bunch of animals, right? Okay, they're there, not by choice. They're there because that's their home, all right? So let's put them off to the side a little bit. Who else is there? You've got Mary. You've got Joseph. You've got baby Jesus. Yeah, he showed up, right? He wasn't there at the start, but he shows up. Who else? The wise men, right? Although, theologically, you know, the wise men maybe showed up later, but for the purpose of this story, it doesn't really matter, all right? Let's leave the wise men there. And then who else? You got the shepherds. All right, let's talk about each one of these just for a minute. I just want you to see something you've maybe never thought of before. So here they are. How did Mary get there? Mary got there because 9 months before, an angel showed up at her house and said, "Mary, you're going to conceive a baby by the Holy Spirit, and his name is going to be Jesus." In other words, an angelic visitation. And she said this, "May it be done according to your word," and the angel left. All right, so that's how Mary ended up there. How about Joseph? Now, Joseph was connected because he was betrothed to Mary. But if you remember, when Mary found out she was pregnant, she told Joseph, it didn't go off very well. Can you imagine, you know, for us guys, girlfriend coming to you and say, yeah, I'm having a baby by the Holy Spirit. And you know it wasn't you. I bet, yeah, I don't think so. And so he felt the same way, right? Now, he still cared for Mary. He didn't want to publicly, you know, disgrace her. So he what was he going to do? He was going to cut bait and run. He was like, man, I'm out of here. I'm not dealing with this. And what did it take? He's sleeping, and in a dream, an angel comes to him and says, listen, what Mary's telling you is true. Don't be afraid to take her as your wife. And so he does. And so he's there at the nativity scene because of that. Okay. What about the shepherds? How did they end up there? They're out in a field with their sheep at night. Angels show up, fill the sky with the glory of God, and they tell them that there's a Savior been born in Bethlehem. And so they go and check it out. What about the wise men? Well, they saw a star in the east, and as a result of that sign, somehow they knew, and we don't have the background of that, but we understand that somehow they knew. We think maybe it had been Daniel, who was in captivity. Maybe he had heard from the Lord and had given some scrolls or something explaining that when there's a star shows up, it's going to be the Savior. But somehow they knew because of the sign of the star. And as a result of that, they became part of the nativity scene. So they were all there because of a moment of revelation from God. I want you to think about this. In the chaos of the entire world, the Romans are over top of Israel. You got chaos all around. But that moment, that nativity scene, that place of peace, all happened as a result of God speaking, his presence speaking through angels and other ways to different people that brought them to that divine moment in time. See, that's God's plan at work. And that's God's purpose for each and every one of you as well. Just think about this for a minute. That's God's heart, that in this world of chaos, this world of craziness, that through you connecting to him, abiding with him, finding out your part in this grand plan of showing up at these divine moments in time so that the Prince of Peace can be a part of it. See, that's why the peace of God transcends all understanding. It's not of this world. It's not of this place. It's spiritual. In 1993, I remember Christmas week 1993 more than any other year of my life. Now, for most of you, you probably can't remember what happened in 1993. It was just another Christmas week that went by. But that particular Christmas week, 1993, I was in a rented 26-foot-long Ryder truck moving from Canada to the United States. Leaving family, leaving friends that did not understand what we were doing, wondering if we were crazy, all of those kinds of things. Moving during Christmas week, it just worked out that way. And so here we are, we cross the border and we come, and here's what I want to tell you. Though in my mind, I've got chaos. I've got all these things coming against me. I had more peace at that moment in time than I've ever experienced in my life. Why? Because I had that moment of clarity where some 8-9 months before that Ryder truck ride, I was walking in a field and God spoke to me and said, you're going to be moving. You see, for you and I to have the peace of God, we have to be connected to God. It's the only way it works. It's not because of changing your circumstances or changing anything down here. It will not fix it. Listen to me, it will not. And if you think it does, it'll be temporary. It's like a Band-Aid. You know what I mean? It's temporary. For you to have the peace of God that passes all understanding every day of your life, every moment of your life, you have to be abiding in him. There's got to be a connection to him. Amen? So my word to you today is abide in him. And experience his love. Realize that he has a plan for your life, a purpose for your life, and he wants to do some great things. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask everyone to stand, and Gabby, you're somewhere. She's going to come up, and she's going to play that song, I Need You Again. And we want to, if you're a visitor here and you're wondering what's going on, here's what's going to happen. We're going to sing this song once, but during that time, we want to invite anyone that wants to come forward for prayer. Maybe you're dealing with some unpeaceful things in your life right now, and you need some peace. You know, the ministry team's here. We want to pray for you and help you walk through that. God did some amazing things at the first service. Now, I'm going to say something to you, and you probably don't want to hear this. It maybe sounds kind of harsh, but if you want this coming year to be the same as last year as far as peace goes, don't do anything different. Just don't do anything different. It'll probably be about the same or maybe worse than it was. But if you want God's peace, maybe then it takes a step of faith on your part. Maybe something that I've said here today has stirred you with a circumstance or a person that's something you need to deal with, and you want just agreement in prayer. This is the time to do it. You know, I don't want anyone leaving here and you didn't come up for prayer and you're like, oh man, I should have done that. I should have done that. Don't be that person. Come forward and receive prayer. And then when you leave, you can say, man, God did something. And I'm believing for peace that I didn't have before. And you can name whatever that situation is. Now listen, you can be big about this and say, I just want peace everywhere in my life. Well, I think that's probably, listen, even Miss Universe asked for that, right? World peace, that's what everybody wants. But here's the reality of it. I want you to focus on one thing. Just one thing. Let's eat this thing one bite at a time. The one thing that God has put on your heart that you need peace in. And that's what we want to pray for you.